When you're going through hell, keep going. Winston Churchill was quoted saying this during a pivotal time in world history when the enemy of darkness, the Nazis, were plowing through the known world at that time. And he inspired a country. He inspired an army. You don't give up. When you're going through hell, keep going. That's grit, right? That's grit. Like that. Grit is so important. In our marathon faith, it's not where we began that matters. It's where we end up. It's not where we begin. It's where we end up. And if you're going to finish strong, it's going to be because you've got some grit. And you couple grit with a faith in God, that's a powerful combination. Grit is a term we kind of use in the South, right? When you say that someone is gritty, that's like a compliment. What is grit exactly? Grit is defined as a persevering passion to fulfill a goal no matter what obstacle is in its way. Grit is a persevering passion to fulfill a goal no matter what's in your way. It is an unsinkable spirit. It's a driving force. It's more than just a commitment. It's fulfilling a commitment when things are hard, when you get hurt, when things aren't going your way, and you hold on to that commitment. You don't give up. You don't quit. You keep going forward. You keep inching your way along the journey, and you don't stop. It's so important that we have grit. No grit, no glory. If you quit too early, it's probably because you don't have grit. Grit is more important than money. It's more important than talent. It's more important than intelligence. It's a defining factor that separates people from others. People who have an unswerving commitment to not give up, to show some grit, is to keep going. And you're here today, and you may feel like, man, you're just this close to walking away, this close to quitting your job, this close to just giving up on a relationship because there's too much conflict. Maybe it's your own marriage. You've forgotten the vows that you've made, and now the grass looks greener on the other side. And you're tempted to walk away. You don't feel as connected anymore. Things aren't the same as what they used to be. You've got children at home, and you're contemplating this decision. Maybe you've been bouncing around from one job to another, or you've been hopping around from one church to another. There's not a perfect person. There's not a perfect church. There's not a perfect small group. There's not a perfect job, right? But sometimes when you hold on and when you're committed and you show some grit and you honor that commitment during the highs and the lows, then there's some fruit of longevity that you'll never experience if you give up too early, if you quit too early. And so hold on to that commitment that you've made. Hold on to it. In 24 years of ministry, I've talked to a whole lot of people who, especially people who have just been faithful and they've persevered under trial and they've shown grit and they've shown faith in God. And most people who have held on and they didn't quit, they didn't have regrets. Now, I'm not talking about if you're in a toxic situation or you need to have some separation for a time being, if you're in an abusive relationship. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you made a commitment, you hold that commitment. Because people who have quit too early, didn't do it for the right reasons, most people look back and regret it. Short-term relief is never worth the long-term regret. Short-term relief is never worth the long-term regret because it doesn't just affect you. It affects others around you. And so today, let's discover from the Bible, what does the Bible say about grit? Turn with me in the Old Testament to Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11. Did you know that there were over 3,000 people mentioned in the Old Testament? Out of all those people, only 20 are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 because of their faith in God. And each one of those 20, they had a unique quality, a quality that if you embrace, it's going to help you finish strong in your race as well. Of those 20 people, there's a man named Jephthah. Jephthah, little known Jephthah. How many of you have ever heard an entire sermon about Jephthah? Raise your hand. Not many. Just one. Pops, probably because you preached on Jephthah at some point in your life. You got me. But Jephthah, we discover in Judges chapter 11, verse 1. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot. The first lesson that we learn from Jephthah's life is that grit overcomes the odds. Grit overcomes the odds. Jephthah was an adulterated child of a prostitute. And as a result, Hebrew law said that this person and his family would never be allowed to enter a sacred place of worship. And not only that, his half-brothers, they completely rejected him. So imagine being Jephthah. Like, you were never allowed, you try to go to church, and people say, hey, we know about you, a mighty man of valor, you got good character, but man, there's just one thing, the greeters are like, you can't come in here, you can't come to church today. Not only that, imagine coming to a family gathering, you know, like they're meeting at Christmas time. Well, they didn't have Christmas yet, but whatever Jews did back then, like Hanukkah or whatever it is, they come together, the family reunion, and then they say, hey, Jephthah, not you. You can't be a part of this. How many of you have ever felt like that? You felt like there's this, people say these things about you, and maybe you try so hard, but they're like, but that one thing that you've done in your past, and it just feels like it follows you like a dark shadow. It just feels like you can't escape it. It's that people say that one thing, one thing in your past. And maybe it's not even your fault. Like Jephthah, it wasn't even his fault. He's being rejected by his brothers. He can't go to church anywhere. He's like, everyone has labeled me. He is an underdog. What I love about scripture, what I love about Hebrews 11, like of the 20 people, they're not just pastors and priests or prophets and kings. You have people like Jephthah, son of a prostitute. Rahab, we discovered from her, she was a prostitute herself. And then you have other people like Samuel, who was a child, Gideon, a farmer, Barak was a soldier, just common, ordinary people, underdogs, who other people would never say, hey, they're going to amount to something one day. They're going to be successful in life. Even Jesus himself, where did he come from? Nazareth, right? A little backwoods town called Nazareth. People said in the Bible, like, what good could possibly come from Nazareth? And I love that Jesus takes the underdogs off the bench and puts them in a game. Aren't you glad to serve and worship a God that does that? And so you may be here and you feel a little bit like Jephthah. And you're, again, you're maybe this close to quitting. Well, Jephthah, he did walk away. He had had enough. And it says in verse 3 of Judges 11, Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. And worthless fellows collected around Jephthah and went out with him. So he leaves. He had had enough. He quit. And he went into the wilderness. He went to the land of Tob. And it says here in the land of Tob that he was surrounded by worthless fellows. The reality is when we quit too early, when we leave, when things get hard, we're in the land of Tob, that's not always the best place, right? Because especially if we leave and because of conflict or we're hurt, we've got an offense, and we surround ourselves with other people who will either carry that offense or they've been hurt too, and then it becomes a breeding ground for the enemy to do a number on our mind and in our hearts. And not only that, the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals, right? Birds of a feather flock together. And in the land of Tob, he was there. And you may be in the land of Tob today. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And you may be like the prodigal son who Jesus talks about, right? The prodigal son, he left too early. He demanded from his father, give me my what belongs to me, my inheritance. And he left and he squandered it, right? Out in wild living and partied. Again, short-term relief can lead to long-term regret. He wasted everything, but he had enough sense to listen to the drawing of the Holy Spirit, and he made his way back home. If you're in the land of Tob, I want to say it's never too late to come back home. Never too late to come back home. And you may have said, I'll never amount to anything. I've got too many things going against me. I'm too young. I'm just too young. My age holds me back. The Bible says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but be an example in faith, life, love, and purity. You may say, hey, the color of my skin, my ethnicity, my neighbors look at me differently. It's not the same. I don't feel like I belong. I don't feel the same. Bible says that God shows no partiality, shows no favoritism, right? We're united together as a church family, not because of the color of our skin, but because of the blood of Jesus, right? We have Christian loyalty and fellowship connected to each other. So you might say, hey, because of my gender, it just disqualifies me. I've been overlooked just because of I'm a female or I'm a male. The Bible says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, upon my sons and my daughters, and they shall prophesy. You may say, I'm a single mom, I'm a widow. It's hard to even keep going forward. Lord, would you remind you today that he is with you and your children are his children. You may say, I'm just ordinary. I don't have any gifts or talents. I look at people who have these unique skills and abilities, and maybe you've just compared yourself to them, or you've envied them, or you've been jealous of those people instead of how God's uniquely designed you. Remember, it was Jesus when he came to this earth and he selected 12 apostles. He overlooked the wealthy. He overlooked the religious scholars, and he chose tax collectors, young fishermen. Those are the ones that he passed the baton to. You may say, oh, I'm not smart enough. I don't get it a lot of times. Word of God says that he will use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Something happened when Jephthah was in the land of Tob. And I think that his heart was not hardened, but it was sensitive. And he had overheard, he had heard the stories of what was going on in his home and how they were being threatened by the Ammonites who were threatening to overthrow the Israelites. And he was like, I believe I can do something about it. I think God was stirring in his heart, saying, Jephthah, I believe in you. I'm calling you. I want you to be a person of action. I want to use you again to go back. You're the underdog. You've left, but I want you to come back home. The Bible says that he did return. Like he came back as a result of the Lord prompting him. In verse 9, it says that he went to the elders of Gilead, and he said, if you bring me home again to fight against the Ammonites, and the Lord gives them over to me, I will be your head. Now, he doesn't go back and just like demand leadership. Like if I lead you in a battle and you're victorious. Like, notice the key phrase here is, if the Lord gives them over to me. If the Lord gives them over to me. He knew that. That's what grit does. Like, again, with strong faith, this is this dependence upon the Lord. Grit has a strong dependence. It's like, I know I'm an underdog, but if I'm dependent on the Lord, he's going to provide a way out. He will be victorious because he knows that he's going to receive all the glory. Many of you, again, you look in your past, or you look at a weakness, or look at a pain or an experience that happened, and you've allowed those things to follow you like a dark shadow. And you thought that these things would disqualify you from using the gifts and talents and the calling and the dreams that are deep inside of you. Know that scripture, it says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, that my grace is sufficient for you, that my power will be made perfect in your what? In your weakness. Isn't that good? That the Lord wants to redeem, even in your weakness, he will make it strong. He will make it strong. His grace, his power, his presence is enough. It's sufficient. Trust in him. And no doubt that God selected Jephthah to lead the Israelites into battle. He chose the underdog because the Israelites were underdogs. Like every country that they faced, it would seem impossible that they could overthrow them. They had better horses, better weapons. They were outnumbered. But it was Jephthah who had that faith, and he had that painful experience that God would choose him to look at these Israelites and these worthless fellows in the eyes and say, hey, come with me. I've been there. And if God can help me and his presence can help me to lead me into battle, he'll lead you into battle and we will be victorious. And God used Jephthah to deliver the Israelites. Grit possesses a strong faith in God. But if he would have quit too early, if he would have said no, you know what would have happened? God would have chosen someone else. No grit, no glory. And it's no glory of ourselves. Jephthah gave glory to God. And when we allow ourselves to be used, when we hold on to that commitment, when we persevere under fire, and we're faithful to our spouse, faithful to our small group, faithful to our church family, faithful to the Great Commission to go and make disciples, when it happens and there's breakthrough and God's blessings and there's fruit, we can give glory to God. Our chief purpose is to give glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What I love about Hebrews 11 is, yeah, we have some real life stories, but at the very end of Hebrews 11, the audience that the author of Hebrews is writing to, remember, this was during the first century and they were enduring persecution. Many of them were tempted to go back to their own Jewish faith. The author is saying, hold on. Yes, Jesus was crucified and you will face suffering, but don't give up. Show some grit. Hold on to your commitment that you made to the Lord. He says in verse 35, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. He's inspiring them. He's like, hey, there's some real life stories of people around you that are dying for their faith. They're suffering. They're being persecuted even unto death so they can hand the baton of faith to somebody else. Thank God these people did not quit because someone told someone that told someone that told you and made a disciple and proclaimed the good news of Jesus to you, right? Because of these people, these real life stories. And we've got story after story that can inspire us to hold on to our commitment, to not give up, to show some grit. But there are those of you who have a tremendous amount of grit. It's one of the things that I love about you as our church family. A couple of weeks ago, I just posed a question on Facebook. Who in our church family has shown some grit? That you've been inspired by their grit. And many of you responded. I'm only going to share a few of these stories and illustrations because I've been personally inspired by people. When you hear stories and what they've gone through and overcome, it really helps change a perspective because we can look in the Bible and go, man, if they can do it, maybe there's hope for me. So one of those people mentioned is Randy Lamar. Randy Lamar has not only served in the Army, he's also served in the Air Force, been in combat. He's endured a helicopter accident. He's made over 100 jumps. He's known as a jumper, jumped out of planes and helicopters. And man, his body is ravaged by injuries, but he doesn't use it as an excuse. I mean, he hasn't played golf for over 6 years and he's facing a big back surgery, but he continues to give. He and Sophia continue to show up. He's on our safety team on Sundays, almost every single Sunday. We're like, oh, hey, once or twice a month, every Sunday he just shows up. Shows up on Wednesday night to protect our students. And they lead small groups. He's a small group leader. And then he pours into veterans. He believes that God's calling him. So he ministers on Tuesday nights to veterans who are refuge ministry. Randy Lamar, that man has grit. He's got grit. Leanne Icona is another one. I've known Leanne since high school. Her husband, a close friend of mine, Peter, he was like, hey, Leanne, my wife, she's got grit. When she was born, 1 year old, her dad left her, and there was a lot of rejection and hardship growing up, and then she entered an abusive relationship, and she was betrayed by her husband, had all kinds of health issues. If anybody could be tempted to give up and you wouldn't blame them, it would be Leanne. Even her own children is battling through a heroin addiction. Very, very, very difficult. Except she doesn't give up. She's now a successful businesswoman. She's ran ultra marathons. She's been a small group leader here. Leanne Icona is an inspiring story of grit right here in our church family. Rosella and Jermaine Martinez. It was written about him. During his second deployment to Iraq, Jermaine Martinez suffered several injuries. And due to these injuries, much of the first year of his marriage to Rosella was spent in surgery and rehab, physical therapy, and doctor's disappointments. Upon completing his rehab, Jermaine was deployed once more. Despite sustaining lifelong injuries, Rosella says that Jermaine had always been the up to her down. Even in our darkest times, he has had the most tremendous faith in us and in the fact that God would always see us through. In the past year, we've persevered, more heartbreak and the loss of jobs and a stillborn baby. Rosella says, when I have had a hard time recovering and hanging on to what feels like our last bit of hope, he has just always had this incredible, inexplicable hope that has continued to see us through. Jermaine and Rosella have shown tremendous grit. Josiah Leverich was raised by his grandmother, very poor background. He went to work young to help support the family. He faced infertility. loss of their twins, but they did not give up. He became a foster dad and then an adoptive dad. Josiah has shown tremendous grit. A couple of you have mentioned Jake and Katie Torres. Would you both stand up? You're here right here in this service. I don't want to embarrass you, but we certainly want to honor you guys. You've been on a worship team, faithful to this church for several years, and two children last a year and a half ago, they had a child, and for 8 months, if you were here last Sunday, we kind of shared their story on Baby Dedication Sunday, and God didn't answer the prayers the way that we all prayed and hoped for. And it's easy during those times to harden our hearts and to walk away, but you guys, you're still here, and you've kept putting your trust in the Lord. And during a time where, man, the enemy would want to blow up the family and blow up the marriage, you persevered, you endured, and you brought your son, Asher, that fourth child, and dedicated him to the Lord. And yesterday at Bandera, you show up with your son in Bandera to keep working, hard working. And man, you both, the epitome of grit. We honor you both today. Love you guys. Sometimes you see people, you know, coming and going, you just don't know their stories. Laura is another person that her daughter wrote this about her. She was a caretaker to both her parents before they lost their battle to cancer. Then she became her instant caretaker to her beautiful Down syndrome sister, Melanie, for almost 20 years. Now raising three granddaughters, all under the age of six, with her husband, Carlos. She keeps trucking, even through chronic pain from an implant. She does all of this with grace, lots of love, joy, faith, and grit. Thankful for this strong Jesus-walking role model, my mom. She is the epitome of, I don't know how she does it. She shares the love of Jesus to all she comes across and is a light to many. Laura is a grit woman, a woman full of grit. Katie Torres, she's another one. She is her husband, Nick, who just returned from a deployment these past couple of weeks. He writes this: she has overcome so much from her childhood. She's lost over 100 pounds since having their oldest son, Logan. She's conquered multiple marathons, and she has persevered through multiple deployments while raising our family. Katie Lewis has grit, has grit. Robert Zamora is another one. He had his stomach removed 7 years ago due to stomach cancer. He's cancer-free, but then he had a double bypass surgery earlier this year. And he's still able to support his family, playing 3 to 4 gigs most week. Through all these challenges, he's been a constant example and trusts the Lord for healing. He serves his church family with a joyful attitude. Robert Zamora is a man who has grit. Several of you have made mention of some of our staff members, Don Chatham, and doing all that he has as a vet and as a small group on our staff, a small group, all the ups and downs through his story of his back injury. Many of you mentioned our very own Chris Campbell as well, overcoming and battling still leukemia, goes in and once every 6 months and gets the new counts. He's trusting the Lord. He's got a young family, but he believes God's called him to the ministry. He serves faithfully here. He never complains. He's hardworking. You wouldn't know this, but throughout this whole past year, he's had ongoing communication with our 29 partners that we partnered with yesterday for Love in Action. This is the man handled all the things behind the scenes, all the logistics to make it possible. God has used Chris Campbell to lead that Love in Action day and to lead our church family. We're so grateful for Chris Campbell. So many of others. Many of you mentioned my own dad, Pops, Randy Van Pay, as a man of grit, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention you up close and personal my whole life, Dad. You've answered God's call to church planting. Every 5 years, you'd get a church grown, you build a building, then you go somewhere else, start in elementary school. My whole life, you endured the ups and downs, and when financially it was very difficult, you found a way to provide for our family. Bivocational most of our lives, putting roofs on houses, bringing me to help scrape old homes and repaint them. And just, you never stopped, you never quit. And then we started this church. You came alongside, didn't demand a position, served faithfully as a volunteer, have fought and fought and fought for hundreds of marriages in our church family. And many are here today. Marriages have been reconciled because of God's Spirit through you. Dad, I'm proud that you're a man of grit. You know who has more grit than any of us? It's our Father in heaven, God. Do you know that? He's faithful. How many times has he been faithful when you haven't been faithful? And he didn't give up on you, even when you were just ignorant and selfish. I know many times. And that's what I love about his character. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, if we are faithless, even when we don't, man, we just don't have the want to anymore to keep going. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. It's his character, his nature, right? Even Jesus, our example, like he endured all these things. He was homeless and he came on mission to seek and save the lost. And he was devoted to his small group, even when Peter denied knowing him, right? Like I imagine that wound and that hurt was more than what Pilate could do or the chief priests or the Roman soldiers, but Jesus endured the cross. And when he was resurrected from the dead, he didn't give up on Peter. He went to him and he restored that relationship on the Sea of Galilee, made breakfast. And he said, hey, I've got a plan. I've got a purpose for you. Don't stay too long in that boat in your land of Tob. Come on back. I've got a plan, a purpose. I'm not done with you yet. And that's the faithfulness of God.